episode number 170. And the Florida Gators are your national champions. What a game. What a Final Four.
Yeah, we didn't
pick it right at all.
Weren't even close.
Not even fucking close. But here we are, Florida, national champions. Shout out Walter Clayton.
Shout out Maggie O'Brien.
Shout out Maggie O'Brien. Shout out a lot of people. Shout out my friend Aoife's brother, Shane, also student at the University of Florida.
Actually went to
San Antonio for both games. Yes.
Shout out Tebow.
Yeah, Tebow.
Shout out Urban Meyer.
Urban Meyer, too. Great Florida legend.
That whole 08 team. Maybe not all of them, but...
Yeah. They're Florida national champions, we'll recap both Final Four games, and then the national championship, we'll recap that lovely, lovely Duke game.
Y'all are ass. That was awful, dude.
For those that were asking for an instant live reaction on Saturday, I have two excuses. One, I was too distraught. And two, there was no storage in my phone. So, and I actually tried. It was better off.
You've had some time to think about it. You know, the whole season wasn't a wash.
I've had some time to decompress.
You had a good year.
We had a very great year, I think. But the Apples curse continues. All five of Duke's national championships have been in a city that ends with Apples. If you
I guess where it is next year.
Guess where it is next year? Indianapolis.
No, there you go. I'm taking Purdue.
In other basketball news, Mike Malone fired.
They fired the GM too, right? What the hell? What the hell are they doing? Jokic is out the door. And you stand.
They got a big win yesterday.
Well, I don't know. I saw the favorites that day of when Malone got out of there, that the Lakers are the favorite to get him next for his next possible team, for a team of Luka. I think only in that situation. Yeah, I saw it. I think they're betting in that situation when the contract expires.
Wow.
And LeBron's not there anymore.
Can't believe Mike Malone's going to be my coach next year. Can't believe it. Scenes at the world's most famous. Absolute scenes. We will dive into that whole aspect. Oh, we were just talking about it before.
Over.
It doesn't even feel like it.
Ovi broke the record.
Oh, yeah. Ovi broke the record. Alexander Ovechkin.
At UBS Arena. So that was
at
nice.
At UBS Arena. Definitely the biggest moment to happen in that arena.
Well, Mark Gadcombe had two goals that game. That was pretty big.
That is true. Ovi is now the all-time leading scorer in NHL history. Why I think he's still not better than Sidney Crosby, I will mention that after.
We don't even need it. Like, this isn't a debate. It's just recency bias. Are you kidding me? This was never a debate.
I'm kidding. Yankees
like a top five player of all time. I just want to sneak
in. I know. No, he's Mets. The Mets, nice little homestand.
The last Marlins game was tough. Couldn't manufacture a run, but the rotation and the pitching staff has been incredible. Who would have expected?
Yankees survive getting swept in Detroit.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
Devin Williams. I don't understand.
Pete Alonso ruined him.
I saw his numbers basically saying like he sucks in April and May, but like once like June hits, it's like okay.
You're a closing pitcher. You got to be good all the time. You can't just be good. And
you can't bitch about the beard policy and put up performances like this.
There you go.
You can't change a 50-year-old. You can't be leading the change of a 50-year-old rule and be performing.
Have a 12 ERA.
For the sake of my team, I hope he does well.
Adam Ottavino was good. You DFA'd him twice, but he was good.
He was good. He was serviceable. Finally, last but not least, you can see the azaleas blooming, the birds chirping. It's that time of year.
The Masters. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. I'm fired up. I've been watching it all day.
I just got chills, just both of us saying that. Georgia. It is going on right now, but we will give our preview, best bets, who we have. I already have a loser already. It was fun. We posted a Make the Cut parlay on our Instagram story. If you did not see that, check that out. And then hopefully we get to hit our Make the Cut parlay for the second straight year.
It'd be nice.
Got some money. Made like $95 last year.
There we go.
Glorious.
Probably our best bet so far. The football ones weren't great.
I will say that.
It was a tough year for us. I think I won at 500, dude. That's not, we can't be doing that.
That's inexcusable.
Yeah. That's just bad.
Honestly, I think we both should have done a punishment.
I know. I'm glad I skipped out of that. I know. We definitely should have done a punishment because that was absurd. We both lost money.
That was very absurd. Okay. So let's just dive right into it. The Florida Gators are your national champions. for the third time in program history. First since the back-to-back with Billy Donovan, Al Horford, and Joakim Noah. Let's start with the game against Auburn. The theme for Florida for these past couple of games, for those past couple of games were, and we saw in the Texas Tech game, and we saw it as well in, and we saw it as well in the Auburn game, we saw it in the Houston game too. You're going to go up big, but they were able to fight back. Walter Clayton had the game of his life against Auburn. He didn't perform well against Houston. He was able to step up. Performing well and stepping up is a two different things. Was insane against Auburn. Houston, he was able to kind of hit shots when it mattered within the last 4 minutes of the game.
I was gonna say, first half was rough. Second half was good.
First half was pretty rough. First half was very rough. It was all Houston. I was thinking, goddamn, Kelvin Sampson has got his title. I honestly think if Houston won, Kelvin Sampson was going to retire.
He's coming back.
He's coming back now. Walter Clayton, I mean, this was his month. I would assume Clayton won MOP.
I didn't even look.
I don't think I even got like a notification of it. It was AZ FUD for the women. Shout out UConn. Shout out Kira. Yeah, it was Walter Clayton, of course. What does this mean now for Walter Clayton's draft stock? Like, are people gonna...
Nah.
I've seen late first round.
Yeah, I'm thinking early second for him. I don't think this really does too much.
I mean, you see a guy that scores at will. Like, well, come on.
I mean, yeah, stab at a second round pick at it. It's just, you know, the NBA draft works. It's all about upside. You don't really care about the... I mean, Cam Reddish was a top 10 pick. Yeah. That dude had, like, averaged, like, what, 5 points a game?
He shot, like, 20 from behind
the arc, and they still picked him in the top 10, so...
Hey. My guy alone.
I'm just saying. You know how it works.
I know how it works. Yes, it does. Jedi Broome, done. Auburn, done. I just feel like
it was about time. We were wrong the whole bracket.
Yeah, the whole bracket.
And we were wrong the last time. We picked the one time we picked them to win, they lose. So we mushed them.
That's true. We mushed them. Let's just get to the inevitable.
What, you just want to talk about that last 11 minutes or
first half was great. First half was pretty great, you know, it was just like, okay. And there were just points in time where we were just letting them back. We would jump out to a lead, we'd go up 8, we'd go up 10 at some point, and then we just let them back in. Like, the end of the first half, I was kind of like, oh, shit, because they hit, like, I think they had 5 points within, like, the last, like, 30 seconds or something
like
that.
Felt like something was brewing.
In the first half. And then we would jump out to leads again, and then the 10-minute mark hit. And now...
Guys were bricklaying out there. Jeez Louise.
That's what Houston does. Like, those
and that's what
teams,
we said, but that's what we said.
Yeah, that's what we said. Those teams, those Big 12 teams, like Houston, Iowa State, even St. Mary's, too. I know they're not in the Big 12, but, like, those, like, defensive-minded teams, they are able to hypothetically just push a button and just be like, you're not scoring. You're done.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they did.
It's like Cleveland. Shout out Cavs.
Oh, my God. But that's exactly what they did. That's exactly what they did. Do I blame the coaching per se? I don't want to like get out here
Hell
and bash
no,
John
dude.
John
you Schneier. Can't just blame the coaching. Come on, you have to
show
up.
Here's the thing. Come on, Malawach had 0 rebounds.
Well,
and it was like a -20. Well, so like you really
there's
think,
something there's some things
and
going
like,
on.
You need a guy like Malik Brown, and I don't understand why Pat Gongba didn't play most of the second half. Or he didn't even play in the second half at all. He only played a few minutes in the first half just because Malawach was in foul trouble. Isaiah Evans not playing, I understood. That was not his type of game. He needs to like develop like a playmaking ability. His whole offense all year was to go off curls, go off flare screens and curls and shoot the ball at will. Houston can read that with it. Like that's pretty much just
Sam Merrill.
That's like Frog and Toad for Houston. Like that was a pull. That was an insane pull.
I have a Frog and Toad shirt actually.
Do you actually?
Yeah. It's in my drawer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And now let's just get to the last 2 minutes.
Y'all can't score. What are we doing?
Dude, the inbound pass.
It's just
bad.
Mental mistakes.
Yeah,
it's like a 2K game, dude.
The inbound pass was bad. Like, the turnover, the ball going off Sion James' knee.
And you can blame the foul all you want at the end of the game, but come on. The things that lead up to that play a big role in that.
No, I'm going to say, like, yeah, like, it wasn't really with the way that they were calling a game, that was not a foul. But let's not act like this was the be-all, end-all, like, that really cost him the game.
You guys did it to yourselves. You shot yourselves in the foot.
Yeah, we shit our pants. Yep. We shit our pants.
And I said, you know what? I'm not going to give myself credit for this, but I said they haven't really been in a game kind of like this all year where, you know, there's going to be pressure. They might have to come back.
You can say that. I know. I know the ACC sucked, and we only have one loss in conference play. There was really...
And it wasn't to a good team.
It broke me. Like, what do you mean, it wasn't to a good team?
But who'd you lose to the ACC?
Clemson.
Oh, okay, never mind. I don't know why I thought it was you. Yeah. No, you won that game. You won that game. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. We won that game. We won them. We beat them three times.
Yes.
Yeah. But
all right. Okay, you lost to Houston. Let's call them the Rings, buddy.
I know.
It's like saying the Rangers beat the Isles twice this year. It's been a good year. I mean, like,
I will say though, what the hell was I just gonna say? You hear me speaking. I sound very awful. This was because of the Duke game. Because after, I just kind of just let it all out.
And crying.
No,
I've been there.
Yes,
I was lost 3-1 in the first round of the playoffs last year. I went for an hour and a half walk. I get it.
No, yep. We're normal. We're totally normal people. I just definitely just like pacing around my room, going, "It's not fair."
It's just a lot of thinking.
It's not fair. What the fuck?
Do you do the signature? You put the season highlights on in the background and just sit.
I didn't. No.
I do that every time.
I took a nice little. I don't want to say it on air.
Yeah, I get it. I mean,
Jim knows.
I'll do that. You know, I'll throw the highlights on always, or I'll throw the 2015 Mets World Series run. I usually play up until that Dodgers series. That's where I go.
I pulled a Mag Dog Russo and watched SVU, and then
that's fine.
All of a sudden, I woke up on my couch and it was noon. Like nothing happened.
Yeah, just forget it. Move on. Try and forget it. Move on.
like nothing happened. Yeah. Literally, as soon as I just like let it all out, like I just started getting sick. Like that was tough. It was a worse, honestly. This feeling right now, like I know, like losing to Houston, like this sick feeling that I have right now, it was worse than losing to UNC and then finding out 5 minutes later that Estelle Costanza died. That was a brutal 1-2 punch, and I didn't think it would get worse. And guess what it did.
Yankees lose game 6, that didn't hurt too much, or was that just like it was kind of over? Or game 5, I mean, sorry.
Game 6. Game 5 was pretty bad. There's a lot. I already added...
Is that Yankee? Let me ask you this. Is that Yankees World Series loss high on that list, or was it kind of just like, Jesus, this is...
I could show you the list right now. I have the list. Worst losses of my lifetime / memory, parentheses 2010 to now. I can reveal the top 5 right now. Actually, I'll go top 10. Why not? Let's just have some fun here. Number 10, Duke Michigan State Elite 8 2019. I was at Yankee Stadium during this. Fun fact, I think I've told this story before. It was brutal. Anyway, oh my goodness, did I miscount this? Whatever. Wait, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Oh my God, I did.
All right, we're going 11-1.
No, we just went 9-1. Number That's 10. Fine. Rangers Lightning Game 7 2015.
Yeah, I just said that's got to sneak on there. That was a tough one.
That was bad. That was the Eastern Conference Finals, yes. So that was 10. Number 9 is Duke Michigan State. Number 8, Rangers Kings Game 5 Stanley Cup 2014.
Yeah.
Enough said. Number 7, Rangers Tampa Game 5 2022 Conference Finals.
A lot of Rangers, same thing with me. A lot of Rangers Tampa, a lot of Isles Tampa. Not a big Tampa, yeah. Not a big Tampa fan.
We're not Tampa people.
Except I think they're going to win the Cup. This is where it's a weird little dynamic here.
For those that don't know, that's the Ryan Strome game where he had a wide open net and whiffed. I was watching
that game.
That was the beginning of the end for the Rangers that year. Number 10, 9, 8, 7, wait. 10, 9, 8, 7. Okay, number 6, the DeSean Jackson punt return.
Yeah, you were there. I figured that'd be on there.
I was there. That would be on there. Then number 5, Yankees, Astros game 6, 2019 ALCS, the Jose Altuve home run game. The only reason why it's not higher is because if we did win that game, we would have to go to a game 7 against Gerrit Cole, who at the time was invincible. Like, could not touch him. I did not think that Yankee offense would even do anything. So it sucked that we lost that game. Sucks that what we found out after that game, but
yeah, for the whole league.
For the whole league as well. Number four, Yankees, Dodgers game 1, 2024, the Freddie Freeman Grand Slam. That was brutal.
It was pretty much over before it started, man. I mean, that was just brutal. It's a tough way to that just ended it. That was pretty much it.
You a Tim Hill warming up.
Yeah.
You needed one out, Booney.
Yeah.
I don't know why you went with Nestor Cortez.
I don't think anyone does, to be honest.
Actually,
with you.
He needed two.
Yeah, but two? Are you, look at Nasty Nestor now.
Yeah, I think he threw like seven scoreless the other night. All right, whatever. Number three, the game we just talked about, Duke Houston, Final Four, 2025. Could not make a field goal in the final 10 minutes of the game.
Yeah, that's... Oh.
Six with like 30 seconds left.
Yeah. Yeah, you were. I don't want to keep, keep recapping because it definitely sucks for you. But yeah, that was
number two, Yankees Dodgers game five, 2024.
Yeah, that had to sneak in there.
Cover first base. That could help. Aaron Judge catch the ball in center field.
Then nothing would have happened. The whole thing would have been avoided.
Every time I just see a pitcher going over to cover first base, I'm like, someone does that. Or we could be winning the World Series.
Yeah.
So we're going back to LA.
Well, yeah, we'll see how that wouldn't have been nice, but.
And at number one, it's the inevitable Duke UNC Final Four 2022. I just think it's just because it's just so much impact going into that game. You know, the rivalry aspect to it, losing to your rival in the Final Four. Having it be your Hall of Fame head coach's last game ever.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks. That's the same thing. If I was alive for that Mets Yankees World Series, that would definitely be number one for me.
Exactly. Honorable mention would go. Honorable mention: Yankees Guardians Game 3 of the ALCS, the Jenkenzie Noel walk off home run.
Yeah,
I'll tell you why.
Just a tough beat.
And honestly, it should be much lower just because of, we won the next two games. But like, just like the thought of that afternoon of me just going, oh my God, we were one strike away from being one win away from going to the World Series.
It was just deflating. I mean, that was a nuke.
That was a freaking bomb. Actually, it wasn't really Jenkenzie Noel's walk-off. It was his game tying home run. It was David Fry that hit the grand slam.
Yes, he did.
Now let's go to the national championship. Florida wins it all. Houston, I mean,
they did the same thing Duke did.
Let's talk. Yeah, I was just gonna say, if you're Duke, you were definitely, like myself, you were definitely watching that game just going, what the fuck,
getting flashbacks from the night before. I mean, yeah, it was good.
Your thoughts on the play call, the last play, because I'll say this: outstanding play call by Kelvin Sampson. Like, that was, Sharp had the open shot.
Yeah, I just think, but again, it's sort of the thing where, like, we can say nice play call, whatever, but it comes down to the playing performance. It was just, I thought it was over. I mean, were they up 13, 15 at some point?
They were up, like, 13 at one point, yeah.
It seemed like it was pretty much over, and I don't know, I just, it's, again, one of those things, you're on the biggest stage. You would think the night before they do the same thing to Duke, they could somehow finish this out, but... What are you going to do? Congrats to Florida.
Whatever. Congrats to the Florida Gators. It just means more. Todd Golden, congrats to you. Sure hope he's having a great time in Gainesville right now. If you know, you know. Anyway.
Tell you, Urban Meyer went back.
Yeah, welcome back, Urban. Anyway. Let's go to the NBA, and then we'll do our Masters preview. Mike Malone fired. So much to unravel.
I don't know. It's just like the playoffs are right around the corner.
I said that wrong. Sorry. Oh my God. I also just saw a funny meme. I'm so sorry. Anyway, keep going, Tim. What were you going to say?
I'm just saying the playoffs are right around the corner. It seems a little rash to just get rid of your head coach. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, you couldn't wait the month.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what's the difference?
And also, you've the best player on the planet right now.
Maybe he was unhappy. I don't know.
If he just takes over.
You don't really need coaching.
Yeah, that's what
Steve Kerr's been doing it for years.
I really just don't understand. Like, I get the logic behind it.
Everything leading up to it. They fire the GM like 4 days before, then they fire Mike Malone.
That's where it just doesn't make sense for me. I'm trying to find my notes and I can't find it, and I'm gonna lose it.
I mean, Malone was all in too. He bought into the Denver culture.
He's been the coach for the past 10.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he won a championship there. He's familiarized himself with the families of the players. I mean, he went to Serbia to fucking meet Jokic's horses. Like, he's been around. He's got a Nuggets tattoo. I don't know.
Yeah, I just.
It didn't seem like they were doing too bad.
Yeah. But where do they go now? Because do the Nuggets stick with the interim? I don't even know who the interim is. Do they hire outside? Who would be available?
I don't even...
Who would be available?
David Adelman's there.
That's their
interim. I don't even know who's available.
Does he go to the Spurs? I just thought of that.
Because Pop's going to be done, maybe.
Pop's going to be done, maybe.
The NBA's a fuck. I don't even fucking know.
I don't understand.
I really don't. Like, does he go to the Knicks? He has ties with the city of New York. He grew up in Queens. His dad was an assistant for the Knicks. He was an assistant for the Knicks. And I know Tom Thibodeau is still the head coach of the Knicks.
Is he though?
We'll see. I mean, we lost to Boston again. Like, it's fucking Groundhog Day.
Cleveland, Boston. Yeah. Okay, can't beat any of them.
Yeah, Tibbs got completely like out-coached,
getting outclassed against all of these guys
by Missoula. Like it was not good.
Getting outclassed by Kenny Atkinson. Everyone, dude.
Kenny Atkinson's a good coach, but that
so is Missoula.
So is Missoula too. But like, I don't get it. I just don't.
I don't get that. I don't know where they're going to end up with there, and I want to flip that to the Phoenix Suns, who are eliminated from the playoff contention. What the hell are they going to do? Is KD finally going to be a Nick? Is that what we're leaning towards, Stan?
I don't want Kevin Durant. Like, that's my start here. They're really...
I mean, they gave up so much for Bradley Beal. It didn't work out. They gave up so much for...
I saw this today, and I almost pissed my pants laughing. Bradley Beal posted his underdog slip for the Masters, and it just made me realize he's getting paid $50 million a year to play basketball, has a no-trade clause, his season ends in like a week, his alma mater just won the national championship, and now he gets paid to gamble.
He doesn't even get paid to play. He doesn't play. He doesn't get paid to play. He never plays. Bradley Beal completely fleeced the NBA. He took a great offensive showing on a horrible Washington Wizards team. And then was like, you know what? I'm going to take this massive deal. And he gets traded to Phoenix. He's got a no-move clause. He never plays. He can do whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah, I mean, good for him. But, like, my God.
They're screwed. They screwed themselves.
Yeah, they have a good place to restart with what's his
freaking name? Devin Booker.
Devin Booker, thank you. I'm, like, completely losing it. There's also, like...
Like, Nurkic doesn't talk to the team. They don't even have, like... They're just a mess.
That's bad. That's just so bad. Like, I can't even understand. I can't even really, like,
bring it. Well, it sucks to hear, Stan, but they're comparable as the Rangers in the NHL. I mean, it's the same sort of fucking situation.
Yeah, that is. Also, with, let's talk about Malone again, sorry. Mike Malone, the last two for six NBA champion head coaches have been fired. The only two left are Steve Kerr and Joe Mazzulla. Mike Malone fired. Mike Budenholzer got fired by the Bucks. Frank Vogel got fired by the Lakers, and Nick Nurse got fired by the Raptors. Two were able to find jobs, even though Mike Budenholzer is doing I don't know what the hell he's doing over in Phoenix right now. Like, that also seems to be a disaster.
Everything comes back to Phoenix.
Yeah, it does. But I will say, let's take a look at the Western Conference. The Warriors, that is a loss you cannot afford. No.
No, not at this time. It's such a tight race in the Western Conference.
It is. So right now, it looks like the Lakers are going to be the 3 seed.
But that could flip any day. I mean, that's the crazy thing.
Behind them in the 4 spot, by one game, are the Nuggets.
And the Clippers.
And the Clippers. It's a tie, but
we're on a 6-game winning streak.
Yeah, Jesus. And then it's Memphis, Golden State, Minnesota. You cannot be affording to lose games right now if you're any of these teams. I think maybe the Lakers could afford one.
I don't think it really matters for wherever they seed, to be honest with you. They're kind of in
I don't yeah. I just think that like the Warriors game, that final the game plan late in the game, just having them attack Draymond defensively and just like make him like screw up was an incredible game plan. Now, they were fortunate enough to have guys like Curry and Pajemski miss shots, but like this is
yeah.
That's just a game that you can't lose, and it's a real.
I know it. I know conference opponent. You're in a tight race. You need that one. You almost jump. I mean, you get that. You maybe jump the Lakers, but
yeah. I mean,
they play the Grizzlies tomorrow. That's probably the biggest game they've had all year. So
do they? Golden State?
No. The Nuggets.
Please tell me that game's going to be on national television. Of course it's not. Way to go, league. You fucking idiots. We're definitely going to get like
Spurs with no Wemby.
Yeah, like Cavs next.
Oh, okay. You know, I can't complain. I really can't complain about that. I'm okay with that.
Congrats on the win, Sam. Congrats.
Yeah, I'm okay. I'll take it. Thank you. Well, you never know, Stan. We might not be playing anyone.
Yeah, that is true. So we may get our win against the Cavs.
That being said, though, the bench is pretty fucking good, so.
Yeah, it is. They are pretty damn good. Let's talk about the Knicks. Jalen Brunson is back from injury.
Dude, do you think they have a shot, like, remotely?
They can beat whoever. I think they as of right now, they'd play Milwaukee.
I'm just talking like in general at this title because it just hasn't right now, been a good year.
No, I'm not. As of right now, they would play Detroit in the first round, and they would be playing Boston more than likely. Whoever wins the 2-7 series, it would probably be Boston. Jalen Brunson is back. But here's my thing. I can like spread propaganda all I want, but I don't really want to. But I will say the Jalen Brunson injury may have been a blessing in disguise for the Knicks solely because of the fact that it opened up so much offensively for both OG and Mikal Bridges. I know Mikal had a shitty game against Boston.
OG showed out the other night.
OG did have a very good game, but they were forced to learn how to adapt offensively without
and create Jalen their own Brunson. Shots.
And they found their rhythm, and Brunson's going to be well rested. Do I expect them to make it past the second round? No. But do I expect them to like win a couple of games here or there? Yeah. Like
they get one against Boston?
They could get two. Go to six.
Yeah, but it hasn't been great all year.
I'll take a series tie to 2-2 going into game 5 and you lose the next two.
Like, well, you know what? I mean, if you go 2-2, it's anyone's ball game. And you can,
yeah, it's anyone's.
I hope you beat the Celtics if occasionally Cavs here.
Just give me something to be excited about and I'll be great. Like, that's sort of where I'm at. Mikal Bridges, what with Brunson out, 21 points per game, 5 assists per game on 57% true shooting. OG, 28 points per game on 68% true shooting. Had 20 points or more games while Jalen Brunson was out. So it's worth a look. I will say, though, Leon Rose, if we do not make it past the second round, I think that we should fire Tom Thibodeau and put a full court press on Mike Malone right now.
Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you make a change?
Dude.
Rookie Cleveland. Dude,
Mike Malone and David Carl coaching my teams, the world's most famous. Cinema. It's going to be scenes. Okay. Let's go to the Masters. Our Masters preview of 2025. Last year, we only had one bet hit.
Yeah, you know what? Why don't you rip that off real quick? Make the cut. I got to pee so bad. So we'll go crazy.
I have to wipe my nose, but you can go pee first.
Yes.
Yes. So for the make the cut parlay, these guys that I've selected, I believe the last time that one of them missed the cut was back in 2019. I'm pulling up my notes right now. Oh my God. I'm deathly ill today. Let's go to, there it is. All right. We're going to go up top. And here is the make the cut parlay. We have Shane Lowry, Russell Henley, Will Zalatoris, Robert McIntyre, Sepp Straka, Patrick Reed, Cam Smith, Keegan Bradley, Harris English, Phil Mickelson. We posted on the Instagram story right now. Right now, I believe that the only two guys that are, we are, okay. Oh no, this is not good. Right now, tied for 60, I mean, it's still making the cut, so we'll see. Tied for 65th right now are all McIntyre, Mickelson, Henley, and Straka, which is good. Here, Tim.
That was like a fire hose, dude. Jeez Louise.
Yeah. You want an update on the parlay right now? Leading the way, Harris English. He's at 2-under, done for the day. Cam Smith, tied for 12th. Patrick Reed, Shane Lowry, also tied for 12th, even though he's 3-10. This is where we get scary. And last year, it got scary, but we were able to hold on. Will Zalatoris, 2-over, tied for 15th. Same with Keegan Bradley. McIntyre, Mickelson, Henley, Straka, all 3-over, but they're tied for 65th. So if it were to end tomorrow, and they were tied for 65th, they would get it.
I really hope. I got a lot of guys on a personal.
Leave it here with something.
I got a lot of guys standing on a personal one that are really hugging the edge here.
As I mentioned before, the last time any of these guys missed the cut was back in 2019 when Shane Lowry did it. They are a combined 68 for 78 in total cuts made at the Masters. And in their last five, 42 out of 43.
I like the numbers.
So. Those are good numbers. We'll see. So there's the make the cut parlay. I got it at like 28 to 1, 29 to 1. So we'll see.
But it's the Masters, man. Who knows? Look at Fred Couples today, dude. Fred Couples holding out for Eagle. This guy knows the course better than anyone on the planet.
Didn't he out twice?
Maybe. I didn't even see. I was in class, but Fred Couples has been unbelievable.
Yeah. Okay, so let's take a look at our bets. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I have 6. I told Tim 5, but I have 6. Actually, for the sake of it, I'll take 1 out because I don't think it's going to happen. But
Tim, do you want to start with your first best bet?
My first
best bet. Could be anything.
Okay.
Can be anything. It can be anything. Well, placement, best ball.
Yeah, and here's the thing.
I gotta go wipe my nose.
Go for it. I got a lot of top 20 finishes here. So the first best bet I have, actually, it feels like a little bit of a long shot. He had a tough day today. I know he hasn't been playing phenomenal golf. His last tournament, he actually finished eighth. I forget which one it was, but he was minus eight. I have Tony Finau finishing in the top 20. The odds here are actually pretty good at plus 175. Through all the metrics for tour winners in the past, I think it was the last past 25 years, he fits the mold for every single one. He's a long ball hitter. He's good from 175 to 225 yards in. Excellent ball striker. I like him with plus 175 odds finishing the top 20. And if you're parlaying that with a few other ones, that's a good odd boost for you. So that's what I'm rolling with. Tony Finau finished top 20.
Okay, my first bet. I believe this one already hit, but I'll say it again. Corey Connors to be the top Canadian. I got this at even money. He's played well here, and he has to beat out Pendrith, Nick Taylor, and Mike Weir. That's a start. And he also hits the ball longer than anyone in the field at a course that rewards players. Or sorry, I'm reading a completely wrong one. Holy shit. He has three top 10 finishes in Augusta in his career. Holy shit. I meant to read something.
Of course, does favor the long ball, though. You can face
he does favor the long ball, yes. He's finished inside the top 20 in his last four events and is currently in sixth in the FedEx Cup. So Corey Connors is the top Canadian. Last time I checked, he was tied for first, but he was done for the day. But I think Justin Rose has kind of taken – no, he's tied for second at four under. He's three strokes behind Justin Rose, who's through 15 right now at seven under.
There you go.
Good start for the young guy. The young guy, I say, is a joke. Justin Rose. That's him. Next up.
All right. Another top 20 finish bet. Bryson DeChambeau to finish in the top 20 now. It's at minus 150. Okay. Obviously, this isn't a stretch by any means.
Ooh.
But again, we're talking about a course that favors a long ball hitter. This is the longest ball hitter, a longest driver hitter, probably longest ball striker on the tour. Well, not on the tour, but in this tournament. I mean, minus 150. I kind of like these odds. And again, if you're parlaying it with something, that's going to help boost it a little bit. So Bryson DeChambeau to finish in the top 20. I actually have another one of him finishing top 10 too. So I'm all in on DeChambeau this year.
Okay. Next up, I have Phil Mickelson to finish as the top senior. Another juiced one, minus 150, even though Fred Couples is at 100
Couples
right
now. Couples is dicing, dude. Couples and Angel Cabrera is plus, Angel Cabrera is plus 3-2. They're at the same field right now.
All right,
so,
they're at the same field. So
is Fred Couples making the cut again? Is that a live one we're going stand here? Just to sneak that in real quick. Sneak that in real quick. Fred Couples at 65, really? Really?
It's going to fall off.
All right.
I felt very old by putting Phil Mickelson on there. I felt very old by listing him as a senior as well, but here we are. When I wrote this out, I felt that this would hit with ease, but then I saw Fred Couples.
Guy knows the course like the back of his hand.
Yeah. He's going up against Angel Cabrera, who's straight out of jail. Bernard Langer, Fred Couples, even though he's ahead right now. Mike Weir and Jose Maria. I forget how you pronounced his name. Jose Maria. Oh, yeah. Is that right? Jose Maria Olazabal. Olazabal? I don't know.
He's close enough to where you're going to know who he's talking about.
Yeah. Despite that, Phil has been playing well on the Live Tour as of late, and a lot of people like him to play well at Augusta. Remember, he was the runner-up.
He always makes the cut, dude.
He was the runner-up in 2023. So I said it was going to be an easy hit. He's still in the cut. So we'll see. Tim, your next one.
I'm going to stick on that Phil Mickelson train. I actually got him to make the cut at minus 120. I think the value is pretty insane.
Well, we got
there.
Got him in the make the cut parlay.
Yeah. I'm sneaking it in there as a double. That's a double down for me. For anyone to see that, I mean, it was Stan brought it up. He brought best senior on that one. Best senior bet for him. And like you said, finished second in 2023. This guy, I don't think he's missed the cut in the last 5 years.
Yes. This guy's 2 over through 10 right now, but I still don't really mind it. I have Tommy Fleetwood to finish in the top 20. He has not gotten that win on the tour yet, but he seems to be always in it when it comes to Sundays. He finished third last year in the Masters. I just trust him to finish in the top 20. I know he's not looking good right now. He's 2 over through 10, but
experience is a big thing.
I'm liking what I'm seeing out of Tommy Fleetwood. Your next one.
On that Angel Cabrera trade again. This guy just came out of prison. He's on a mission. He won the senior tour going into this senior championship. I got him at plus 290 just to make the cut. And I feel like the value's a little insane there for a guy, again, who's on a mission. And I'm a big storyline guy, aren't we all? So
you are, yeah.
Why not?
Yes. My next one, another placement finish. Colin Morikawa to finish in the top 10, even though he is even. He had a very bad end to his day. At one point he was tied for first, and then kind of fell off. He seems to be a hot name amongst bettors this week. His tee to green stats have been absurd, and there may not be a better iron player in this field than Colin Morikawa. He just hasn't been able to close it out on Sundays ever since, you know, his little run in the fall of 2020. That's why I'm taking him in the top 10. If he was able to close out on Sundays and get a couple of wins since
top
his,
five
you
would
know,
be,
top five would be nice, but I'm just going to roll with top. Top 10 was at plus money. I'm going to take it. Colin Morikawa to finish in the top 10. Your last one, Tim.
This guy is playing the best golf on the LIV Tour right now, and I feel like that's going to translate over. I know he needed to hit some, my brother especially was texting me today, needed some more birdies on the back nine from him. But Joaquin Niemann at -115 to finish in the top 20. Again, like wow. I said, he has been playing the best.
He had almost the same thing with Morikawa, too. He had a very good start to the day, and then he kind of
fizzled out a little bit. Yeah, but again, all you got to do is make the cut, then you go from there. So I really like him to finish in that top 20. Again, probably the best golfer in the LIV Tour right now, so stay hot.
Last but not least, I have an outright winner. People will never forget, I took Jon Rahm to win the Masters 2 years ago. No research at all.
Don't tell me you took Scheffler. You didn't take Scheffler.
I did not take Scottie Scheffler.
Better not be Rory. He's no Grand Slam for him.
Nope. Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah, that's a popular
pick. Win the Masters. Two-time major champ. This is the one that I was accidentally reading when I was talking about Corey Conners, who hits the ball longer than anyone in the field at a course that favors par fives. I will say this. If Bryson DeChambeau ends his career not getting a green jacket, what the hell are we doing? Because I feel like this is his course. He only got his first top 10 at Augusta last year when he finished tied for sixth. I just think the value for him was ridiculous. Got it at 16-1.
I don't blame you. I beeped it. I mean, yeah, and sneak my last one in there because I'm a huge Tony Finau guy. I got him at +7,500. So if you're interested in taking a long shot, I really like his value there. He meets all the metrics of the past 25.
Currently, DeChambeau is 2-under through 11. So not bad.
It's got to take it all the way to Sunday, dude.
The way he plays, too, like you notice in the U.S. Open, he didn't really creep up that. He was in, like, the back of that leaderboard. He didn't really creep up until, like, late Saturday into Sunday.
It really all matters in that back nine on Saturday and then hole 18 on Sunday.
Yeah. Also, do we think Justin Rose is going to hold on for this?
No. For today or for a general?
Just in general?
No.
All right.
It's the Masters, dude. Right. You always see one guy run off in the beginning and then the back end always takes over.
That is true. Okay, that is our quick Masters preview. Let's go now to the Yankees and Mets. Let's decompress here.
Things have been good.
Things have been good for the Mets. The Mets have been actually like on fire. They won six straight, even though they lost to the Miami Marlins yesterday. Tim, how are you feeling? I believe you're on top of the NL East. If I'm not
we
mistaken.
Are for the first time since 2023, I believe. The first time
22
was it? I think just in general that we've had. Is it 22?
Or like in general,
just
probably
first. Yeah. Okay, one of those. It's been a while.
You're a half game out, but
we were there for a day. It's been a while, but you know,
you've played more games. Yeah. You've played more games.
It's nice to be where we are. Again, I think everyone's surprised how great the bullpen's been. Kranick's been an absolute gem of a pickup. And Brosenbaum, a guy that I really had no faith into going this year, has been also fantastic. The Brett Beatty struggles continue. I said that going into the year. I think we all kind of knew that. He's just not a good baseball player. He's not a good baseball player. He's 1 year younger than Juan Soto. Put that in perspective. I mean, this guy just can't figure it. He can't figure it out.
He can't figure it out. You mentioned that. And, like, I just feel like he's gotten chance after chance after chance.
And
just like,
the thing is, Stan, there's no where's the gap? Because we send him a AAA and he bats 400. You call him to the majors, he bats 111. I mean, I don't know where else do you put him, you know?
Exactly.
So he's been kind of a tough topic for Mets fans. Again, him and Mark Vientos needs to pick the fucking bat up. He needs to figure that swing out.
Big on Mark Vientos going into this year, too.
I was pretty
big on him.
He's got to figure. I know it's early. He's got some time. I mean, look how Lindor started off last year. So
we'll see.
Get the bat going.
We'll see. Next, we'll talk Yankees. They lost three straight.
Jazz got to pick it up a little bit.
Almost lost four straight, too. Almost lost four straight. It's the Devin Williams I'm worried about. I will say, let's start with the good. Max Fried.
Yep.
Was incredible.
Yep.
Was incredible. Seven innings, five hits, no runs, 11 strikeouts, no walks either. He's got to step it up now that Cole's done.
He's the guy.
Like, he's the guy now. He's the guy. There are other people in our rotation that also kind of have to step up, too. Like, Cookie Carrasco.
Welcome to the Cookie Carrasco show, my friend. It's not fun. It's not fun.
Dude.
He's a 4-5 ERA guy. That's what he is.
Dude. It was a fun spring training story, but, like, Clark Schmidt needs to get back here now. Like, that is...
How do you think I felt when he was pitching for the Mets 2 years ago like this? I mean, this was 2 years ago I was saying this.
Yeah. It's abysmal.
He's not good. He throws, like, 88. He's got no movement.
Yeah, like, he looked good in the Arizona game, I'll give him that, but, like, the Detroit game was just a fucking disaster.
Just an innings eater.
Yeah. Rodon, too, just, like, yeah. I don't know what... I feel like we just paid for Carl Pavano.
Well, yeah, I don't want to really jump the gun here, but, you know, he hasn't kind of been producing the way you thought he would. And then, yeah, again, like, this was kind of a shock to me, too, because going into the year, I figured, you know, the issue for the Yankees was going to be the lineup. That's kind of where they were going to struggle and figure out, put pieces together. The rotation and the bullpen, the ERA is not good. The ERA, combined ERA, is not good. And it's the reason you're losing games, because you have, I think, the best average in the league, the most home runs.
We do, yes. Well, it's kind of died down now because the Detroit series, and it was freezing cold, but whatever. We're off today. We're taking on San Francisco for the weekend. We have a nice, if you want to call it, a 10-game homestand, considering that we're playing 4 at Steinbrenner next weekend.
You can call it a 10-game homestand, man. Playing at your owner's field.
If you want to call it that.
Since the Yankees still technically own it, they throw Yankees stuff up for that game? Does that become a Yankees home game?
No, we get the road locker room.
Oh, that's brutal.
Yeah, it sucks, but whatever. I mean, we're used to the field, so we'll see. We take on San Francisco on... Oh, yeah, speaking of, Marcus Stroman, my God.
I told you, I said this about these two guys, Dan.
I can't anymore. I just can't do it.
He can't pitch.
I don't know.
In a league that relies heavy on velocity, dude, unless you have some crazy stuff, which he doesn't have, unfortunately, it's just doesn't seem to work out.
It's not going to work out. So, 3 against San Francisco, the
who've been good? They've been good.
They've been very good.
Verlander looks good.
That's unfortunate. The the game's going to look like, the pitchers are going to look like Ray against Stroman, Jordan Hicks against Will Warren, and then Logan Webb against Carlos. It's kind of, I don't want to say it because I just don't want to get to a point where it's like, I'm only going to be invested if Max Fried is pitching in the game.
That's the life of a White Sox fan last year.
What do you mean, the life of White Sox?
Garrett Crochet. When Crochet was pitching last year, that's when you checked in, because he won, like, I want to say, half of their games.
That is true. And then take on Kansas City for 3. And
that's not an easy one. They got a real good staff. Reagans can pitch.
I mean, there's Lugo.
I will say, you were never the most right you've been about, the most right you've been about anything, Stan, ever on this podcast was Tarek Skubal.
Tarek Skubal, Cy Young.
Just in general. You were so high on him even the year before that. You would have won so much money.
I would have won so much fucking money, man. Like, that was fucking killer. I can't even fathom it.
We've got some awards picks right on the show before. You got Cy Young.
We have.
Lamar MVP I've picked.
Lamar MVP you've had. I've had Tarek Skubal, Cy Young. Who else?
I think we both had it. We had a batting title one. I think we both had a Rise winning the batting title that one year. So I think we both won. Exactly. That was a given. That's like minus 350 if you look at a sports book. So I don't think we really picked anything crazy there.
Like, who's the MVP favorite right now? Like
Pete Alonso? Probably.
Is it going to be Judge again?
I think in the NL right now, it's probably either Kyle Tucker or Pete Alonso.
Yeah, Kyle Tucker looks really good. Yeah.
You know what? We didn't mention this.
Fantasy?
Well, fantasy, no, but what's his fate? Vlad Guerrero resigns. Huge extension.
Oh, yeah. $325 million in bonus money.
I think so. I think that's ridiculous. Is that in bonus, or is $325 of it a bonus, so he just gets that outright guaranteed?
I would assume it's a bonus, so he just gets it guaranteed. Okay. But if it's in bonus, then...
Because I don't think he's not getting that on top of it. I mean, that would be crazy.
That would be ridiculous.
That'd be more than Soto.
Yeah. I mean,
Well, let me ask you.
I wouldn't see him in any other jersey.
Right, but where do they go from here?
You got to build a team. Like, it's a start. Like, at least it shows that they are committed and they are willing to build within.
I think Bichette's still out the door, though.
Bichette's still out the door, absolutely. I think you need a rotation. Like, Jose Berrios cannot be your number one starter. I feel like Chris Bassett's been pretty good for him,
I'll say.
Again,
that's like a number 4 guy.
Like, yeah, like,
when the Mets had him, he was their number three. Like, then that's when the Mets rotations weren't even elite. That was like Chris Bassett and company.
Exactly. Gavin Williams had a good day. He had a very good game today. Let's go. We started our fantasy baseball league.
Oh, yeah.
I love my team.
I don't hate my team. Although
I hate the games played rule.
Yeah, you know what? I can fix it. I kind of, you know what? This was all wishy-washy, Stan. We were putting things on the fly. I'll make some adjustments.
Because I don't think I'm going to reach my minimum.
I'll make some adjustments.
Okay. Right now, my leading scorer is actually William Contreras.
Mike Trout had a day today. Actually, the Angels had a day today, if you saw that.
The Angels, I picked up Kyron Parris, too.
Didn't get a hit today.
He did not. He scored a run. Yeah. So that's points. And I'm not even going to say like what I valued in our draft, because I feel like I valued the stolen base.
No, it's a big.
That's why I got a lot of speedy guys.
Yeah.
Luis Robert. Who else? I mean, Kyron Parris is up there as well. Kyle Tucker, who is the star of my team. Well, also, Ryan
Steele. I mean, that's their fucking all-star right there.
Yeah. I got my boy Scooble.
Yeah.
I just love that as soon as stats started counting for our league, Scooble had the best performance of the season so far.
Did we lock it in yet? Who we picked for MVP and stuff this year? I don't even think we did.
I don't.
We just started. Give me the odd. Give me right off the top of the dome. You're just picking names out of a hat here, because then we can come back to this.
Judge MVP.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's kind of
AL
what I was
rookie.
Picking.
The AL rookie. Who even are?
That's more of like a later in the year kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a later in the year thing. AL Cy Young. Oof.
I like Reagan's.
Reagan's is a good one. Trying to think.
Crochet?
No, I just not this year. Let me look at the odds. AL Cy Young.
We didn't even go over all this. Like this was.
No, we didn't because.
Yeah. Let me.
Yeah, like who? Right now, Crochet's the favorite.
I would say he probably would be going into the year. Yeah.
Yeah. So it might be Crochet. Who knows? Scooble might go back to back, but it's so hard to go back to back.
As a pitcher, they have their biases.
It may have to be Crochet.
We'll see. I mean, the NL is, I don't even know what to think of the NL this year. I think of Pete Alonso MVP, revenge season. He bats 280 with 45 plus homers and leads the league in RBIs again. I mean,
Skeens is getting that NL Cy Young.
You know what? I don't know. Because the more I watch the more I've watched him pitch, Dan, the more I see holes in him.
DeGrom had like an 8-8 record and still won it. Like,
he had a 179 though, and he probably had more RBIs in the team. I watched Skeens let up like 4 runs the other night.
We'll see. I mean, it's still early.
DeGrom's
to
back too. There you go.
Yeah, DeGrom's back as well. So that's a positive sign.
I would so trade for him if I'm the Mets. I don't even care. He's one of those guys.
He's just one of them.
He's immortal, dude. They should put his headstone up. I mean, he is the best pitcher I've ever watched in my lifetime. And I don't even think it's a question.
I can get behind that.
I mean, okay, you could say Kershaw if you want, because he did have that 179 MVP season, but
yes, that is true. Okay, let's go to let's go to hockey. Let's just talk about Ovi.
You got
our
it.
Playoff preview is likely going to be next week. I don't know when it's going to be. I don't know when we're going to record it. I just think
talking
that
the fucking Devils in the playoffs, and the Isles and the Rangers aren't in. Bullshit
gonna,
Devils team. It's going to be lost in the first round.
Get
4.
I'll give them 5.
I don't even have the courtesy, dude. Get the hell out of here.
I'll give the Devils a game 4 win when they're down
3-0. They are
3-0,
the most annoying
fan
base.
The worst type of game to win.
They're the most annoying fan base in the metropolitan area. They never shut the fuck up, and they don't win anything, ever.
Yeah, it's true. It's something we can get behind. I'm ready to bet on the Tampa Bay Lightning to win the Stanley Cup. I'm ready to win.
I don't see a reason
a
why they like why they wouldn't. That's kind of where I'm at. I'm at that point where I'm like, I kind of don't see any holes in this. Like, they have everything.
And I'm also very excited to be watching the first couple of games with you, Tim.
Oh, yeah, we'll be back. I love playoff hockey.
Back.
It's a different atmosphere.
I don't even want to go to the bar. Like,
we can
go
anywhere. We can go to a porch, dude. I don't care.
Yeah, well, fucking, I really don't care. We can go to that fucking place in the city, or we
can
go.
The Canuck, dude. We can go to the Canuck.
But here's the thing. I saw my bank account the other day.
We could buy a 30 rack and just watch ESPN Plus. I have no problem doing that.
We're thin.
I have no problem doing that. Listen, I am excited to watch Ovi in the first round. I think they do get out of that. Yeah, well, you know, he got the goal. On a power play.
He did it.
What's new?
We can stop talking about it against the Islanders.
He belly dove at center ice. I will say that was one of the worst hockey games I've ever watched from the Washington Capitals. They were awful.
That was a, Dude, that was such a bad game. I was like, can he just score so I can just turn this off it was, and stop watching this?
After the celebration, you knew every guy on that team was checked out. You're out of a game for 10 minutes with your gloves off, your helmets off, you got hats on, you're giving flowers to Ovi. It was clear the Capitals were done after the game. But, I mean, after that ceremony, I just, the game plan of just getting the puck to Ovi was so evident. Like, you could tell from the get-go that was all they were doing. And it didn't, I mean, it worked once, but it didn't work at all.
It did, but it didn't work at all. I thought he was going to get the hat trick against who'd they play.
Oh, Chicago and Spencer Knight's throwing his head. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I even placed a bet on it. It was at like plus 500. I'm like, dude, he's doing it.
Spencer Knight made some sick saves in that game too.
No, but Ovi had a shot though.
I know. He had like... And Spencer Knight just somehow got it.
Yeah. Or he lost control of it. He lost control of one.
He made a breakaway save on him too. It was a lot. Yeah, it was a. I mean, the Chicago is literally the worst team. If you looked at plus minuses for Bedard's the lowest in leagues, minus 40 this year.
Who's in better shape, San Jose or Chicago?
San Jose. Chicago. Chicago's treading water. 5 years. 5 years. San Jose. San Jose has the framework set up with guys already in the NHL. Chicago has that whole landscape bubble of prospects. None of them have really stepped up in, other than Bedard. I mean, the other guy. You'd say like a few of their third liners, but. I would say definitely. I know the goaltending's in Chicago, but I. Oh, no, do no, no. Think... I take that back. The goaltending's 100% in San Jose. They have Askarov in the AHL they traded for as a number one goaltending prospect. So.
Okay. Let's talk Rangers real quick. They healthy scratched Gabe Perreault
yesterday.
Welcome
to the show.
Yeah. I said this to one of my friends. I was like, Ovi's taking Ryan Leonard out for drinks. Meanwhile, Chris Kreider's telling Gabe Perreault that, like, this all means nothing.
Go clean the shower.
And we're all going to die in our own arms.
His head coach won't even talk to him after the game.
Like, won't even talk. Like, now it seems pretty clear that Pete Laviolette's going to get fired.
I think this is just going to be a mutual part ways at the end. I don't think he wants to be there. I don't think they want him to be there. I think this is just a mutual get the hell out of here kind of thing.
So, I'm just curious, and I saw a poll on... Twitter. Someone created a poll. I have it right here. Here it is. New York Rangers head coach. 31% of the poll says David Carl would love it.
Yeah,
I would absolutely love it. 17% in second place. Actually, no, in second place, 18%. Mike Sullivan.
I wouldn't hate it. He's won some cups.
I want David Carl.
Well, it'd obviously be tough getting Pittsburgh's guy and then moving over to
this one was shocking. Said. Joel Quenneville.
I don't even think that would be a bad pickup. I really don't.
But you don't want the bad PR, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, right now, it can't get much. The PR in the Rangers right now, great.
Like, we're seeing what Jim Montgomery's doing with St. Louis right now after getting fired by Boston.
Should have hired him when you had the chance.
Number one. Why not get a guy that's been under the Jim Montgomery system?
I 100% agree with you. I mean, Montgomery completely turned this Blues team around.
But now here's the thing. Does David Carl want to leave and go coach the NHL?
Well, maybe not. And I think you're at a point now is, do you want to coach the Rangers? I know they're a big name, but it's like...
But here's the thing. The roster now is going to be very different than what it is next year. And Gabe Perreault shined. Under David Carl in both appearances in the World Juniors.
Yeah, I'm not arguing with you. I think it'd be a good fit. I think also, I mean, once this offseason kicks off, I think there's a lot of teams that are going to try and make a turnaround here. You might see a
fourth place was John Tortorella.
There you go. You want some controversy? You don't want bad PR, Stan? Bring that guy in along.
Dude.
Get out of here, Brooks. I'm not talking
about it. Dude, that would just make my year. Because I was too young to remember the Torts Brooks beef.
He was mad at everyone.
He was. He almost made Brian Boyle cry because he was late to a meeting.
JT Miller loved him. But JT Miller is a psychopath.
Yeah, that is true. I just would love David Carl. And now, like, think about it, though. Like, Drew comes up. Like,
well, you need two or three more years for that. I get it. Say Drew plays another year at BC, maybe another one after that, goes to Hartford for maybe like half a season or something, then come up. I just think he needs to get bigger. Defense is tough.
Jury refused to trade him, though.
Oh, he's a big prospect. He's been great.
Yeah,
he's been awesome. BC team choked, but he's been great.
Yeah, they did.
Frozen Four tonight.
It's all coaching.
Yeah.
Who was winning that? Denver?
They won last year. I mean, yeah.
But like...
I don't know.
Definitely not Penn State.
I like BU.
You like BU?
I like Iserman. They've been playing good.
Oh, is this the kid?
Yeah. The Iser plan?
Oh, it is.
The Isles guy?
Steve's kid?
Oh, no, I don't know if it's his kid. No. The Devils do. They have Shane LaChance. He's huge. That kid's huge.
I think we have a guy in Western Michigan.
They're a sneaky one.
A Ty Henricks.
I will say, though, Stan, the Penn State story for college hockey.
I said in quotes, because the Rangers posted something, it said, best of luck to a Rangers prospect, Ty Henricks, in the Frozen Four. I said, enjoy this now, because we'll ruin you.
Maybe save this from what I saw, because it's hilarious. I'll save that. What was I just going to say?
Penn State hockey.
The Penn State story is great. Have you heard about it? You know, they just transferred to a Division I program in the last 10 years. It was like, this is their first tournament they've been in. I think actual Frozen Four tournament. And then they made it to the Frozen Four. So good for them. Yeah.
Shout out Ethan Zaretsky, big Penn State hockey
there
guy.
You go.
There it is. Who's winning it? I'm having Denver.
Denver, yeah. We'll take BU. Denver's probably the favorite. I'm going to say BU, but Denver's probably the favorite. I'm in the Mass area now. You know, I got to stick with it.
I'm a David Carl guy.
Yeah, clearly. I mean, he did a great job at the World Juniors.
Dude, I want him. I just need him behind a Ranger bench. Like, just imagine.
Well, I think, Stan, and if they win the national championship, job's done there. He might two national championships and goes to the NHL.
Back-to-back national championships goes to the NHL. This is like a Dan Hurley arc, but he actually goes to the pros.
And isn't a crying bitch.
Yeah. But anyway, think about it, though. Like, he brought out the best in Perot and World Juniors. Drury has to notice that.
He's a fantastic coach.
And I think Drury is so connected with the college game.
Like, and the drafts a lot team.
Of, like, we can say other things about the development team, but anyway. Led by Mark Stahl. But anyway. But I think that, like, Drury's, like, just so connected with the college game. I just think that they're, like, Drury wants David Carl. I know nothing going on inside the Rangers org.
Well, here's the thing, Stan. Yeah, we know nothing. I mean, maybe Laviolette comes back next year and this is all just fucking awful.
Well, Elliot Freeman did say it seems like he's out the door.
I mean, it seemed like he's out the door since the fucking All-Star break, but
yeah, that is true. That is true. Yeah, I think that's all we got.
Simon Holmstrom, 20-goal season. Shout out him. There you go.
Looking good. Go Isles. Go Isles. Okay. Damn, I just saw something else that made me laugh. Moving on. What I saw, Tim, you've been teasing this.
I got two. I'll start with one, and then I'll start with the other one that I think is hilarious, because I don't know if you saw it. I think you did. Maybe. Okay. I think I sent it to you. But
maybe.
One, shout out Dwight Howard, NBA Hall of Fame. There you go. Rightfully so.
Carmelo Anthony as well.
Yes, Carmelo too. There we go. Oh, shout
I think
out
I already mentioned that last week.
But I don't know if we mentioned Dwight Howard. I think we mentioned Melo.
We didn't mention Dwight Howard. We
mentioned Melo.
Coach K is a part of that class too.
Good class.
For him coaching the Redeem team.
Well, there you go.
Like, rightfully so. The whole team's getting inducted. Well, he's the representative.
Yes, I imagine.
Yes.
And flip to the second one. If anyone's been following AHL hockey this year, they know how abysmal the Bridgeport Islanders have been.
What's up with the guy with the hit in the ref?
Well, that's where I'm leading to.
And why is he suspended 10 games?
I don't know. They have literally been historically, Stan, like the worst AHL team ever. They have like 4 wins. They're so fucking bad. And this guy, the defenseman of the Isles AHL team, like laid out a ref, like absolutely laid out a ref. And I understand people were like, oh, it's muscle memory. He didn't have his head turned. He thought it was a player. Dude, laid that. And then he tried to play it off like he didn't know and then tried to help the ref up. I don't know. It was a mess. But if you haven't seen that clip, go check it out. This dude on the AHL Islander team literally just destroys a ref in the corner for no reason.
Ridiculous. I started Succession.
I've heard good things.
It's the greatest. Like, it's the best. I fucking love it.
Me every time I watch Entourage.
No, but Succession is like, I thought it was a drama. And then it's like, but like, it's almost like Sopranos. It's like a dark comedy. And I was like, why? Like, who made this so funny? I was like, oh, look who's a freaking executive producer, Will Ferrell. So
there you go.
There it is. But dude, I'm loving Succession right now. loving it. Anything else before we go? I think we're good. I think we covered all of our tracks.
One thing we didn't cover, if anyone's interested, there's an NIL holdout for a quarterback at Tennessee. They're literally in contract disputes. It's fucking contract disputes in the NCAA.
First NIL holdout.
That's like, crazy.
Where is he going to go? It's so stupid. There needs to be some type of regulation.
There can't be contract disputes.
Shit that's going on with BYU right now. Are you seeing this?
I didn't even see that.
Robert Wright, the stud freshman point guard for Baylor, entered the portal. And now all of a sudden he's going to BYU, even though he's not Mormon.
Are they just throwing so much money at him?
Gave him $3 million. Like, they're not even like trying to be.
No one
like,
cares anymore, though. No one's going to do anything about it.
You can't.
Yeah.
It's so stupid.
I understand. Like, they did the right thing.
And now BYU is going to be, like, a top 10 team in America.
And that's not good for the sport.
We'll see.
It's just funny because it was the right idea, and then they just...
It was the right idea, but they just gave the players way too much power.
They were like, fuck regulations, this is it. Like, we're just going to roll with it.
Yeah, like, imagine if, like, it's not going to happen, but, like, imagine if Flag comes back.
I mean, who knows?
Like, how much, in terms of how much, $10 to $13 million.
I mean, it's crazy.
Absolutely.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
It's insane. It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's completely ridiculous. Okay, that's going to wrap it up. Be sure to follow us on... Why is there a statement from Isaiah Bond? Oh, no. Isaiah Bond has turned himself in on a sexual assault charge of Texas. Yes. All right.
What
that's
a thing to leave
up
on.
Yeah, sorry.
Jeez.
That's going to wrap it up. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. Be sure to like this video on YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube. Be sure to leave a comment on this video. And be sure to follow us and rate us on Spotify.
5 stars.
5 stars only. And we will see you guys next week when we have a winner of the Masters and hopefully our NHL playoff preview. That will not feature the Rangers or
Islanders. For the first time ever on this podcast.
For the first time in show history. Yeah. I was just going to say. First time we'll be neutral fans. Tim will be a neutral fan. I will not be a neutral fan. I will be a neutral fan for the first time.
I have a Tampa ever. Bay Lightning jersey.
Can you hold me one? You got one of those like black Marty St. Louis?
Oh, I got a. It's so funny why I have this too. I'll
Vincent
leave it on this.
I'll leave it on this.
I have a Tyler Johnson one from when he beat you because he beat you guys. Like he's the reason you guys lost that series in 15. It's the reason I have that jersey.
Your dad was like, I'm so proud of you.
My
son.
Brother bought it. My dad was like, wear that. Wear that to school.
I'm sorry. All right, peace out, guys.